What makes you think that the state getting involved with the violence in St. Louis is going to make a significant impact on people's lives here?
Yeah, well, first of all, I appreciate you making the time to talk today, Jason. Let me just say it is essential that we take action. As a lot of your viewers know, St. Louis right now is the number one city in the country per capita for murder, aggravated assault, rape, and armed robbery. We had 188 murders in 2016. So it's imperative that we take action. And for too long, public leaders have either ignored the problem or have just simply failed to take concrete action. So what we're doing is we're bringing in a special operations team of the Missouri State Highway Patrol. These men and women are all volunteers who've joined this unit for this very important operation. We're beginning to work with the FBI and the DEA on their Mission Save Task Force. This is a task force which is designed to take the most violent offenders off of the street, and they've seen very good results in other cities where they've done this work. And for the first time, Missouri is now working with the FBI and the DEA there.
I know you may not have the exact numbers in front of you, but do you have any estimates on how many Department of Public Safety people are going to be involved in this, as well as the Department of Mental Health and Social Services?
Yeah, so thanks for bringing attention. This is a total effort, right? So you've got the Department of Public Safety with the Missouri State Highway Patrol. I'll check and make sure that we get the latest numbers for you, but you're talking about over two dozen members of the Missouri State Highway Patrol in the Special Operations Unit, which is flexed to be on Highways 55, Highway 70 in the city of St. Louis. You also have members of the Department of Social Services who are going to be providing trauma counseling in St. Louis public schools, and members of the Department of Mental Health who are going to be working on training to help to de-escalate situations, providing that training to St. Louis City, and we're hopeful, members of the St. Louis County Police Departments as well. I don't have the exact numbers on personnel from DSS and the Department of Mental Health on that, but this is a total team effort, as well, you know, our efforts with the Department of Corrections to make sure that those 450 convicted criminals that the state of Missouri had been letting out every day to walk the streets of St. Louis are now going to be involved in productive programs to make sure that when they reenter society, they're doing so in a productive way, and that when they go out, they're actually being monitored so that they're going out to, for example, go to a very specific interview.
I know from talking with you in the past that you were in Ferguson in 2014.
Yes, sir.
I was in Ferguson in 2014. And one of the things that I heard over and over again from the African-American people that came out to protest Michael Brown's death is stories of them being harassed, disrespected, and dehumanized by police. And I'm asking this question knowing that the Missouri Highway Patrol is very well trained and very well regarded. But what confidence could you provide the African-American residents of St. Louis that more highway patrolmen being in the city is not going to lead to an increase in racial profiling or that harassment that was at the crux of all those protests?
Yeah, well, you're right that the members of the Missouri State Highway Patrol are professionals who hold themselves to the highest standards. And in fact, when I spoke to all of these volunteers before they went out on this assignment, I said one of the things that gives me so much confidence about sending them out onto the streets is that I know in every interaction they have with every citizen of the state of Missouri that they're going to bring that same level of respect and dignity. And just to give you a concrete example of what this looks like, Jason, I was out on the first Sunday night that they were out. I was riding with the state's director of the Department of Public Safety. We pulled up on a car that had been abandoned, and as we pulled up, the owners of that car also pulled up. They had a flat tire. The state's director of our Department of Public Safety and two members of the Missouri State Highway Patrol got out of the car and were down on their knees on a hot night in St. Louis changing the tire. And they've been out helping men and women who've had car crashes. They've been out changing tires. They're doing this work, and I think what they're doing is creating a culture of public safety so that people can trust in our law enforcement officers, because that is part of what we need to create a culture of peace, is that we need to find ways to bridge those gaps. We need to find ways to bring the community together, which is also why it's so important that we involve our clergy in this effort. You know, it's why I spent time with Bishop Jones, who actually brought together mothers and fathers who'd lost kids to violence. It's why, you know, I was honored when you came out and you joined us when we went out with Reverend McCoy to actually walk the streets. It's important for us to go out and to hear from clergy and to hear from people on the front lines about what we can all do better in order to bring people together.
One of the things I've heard from not only elected officials but just ordinary people is that the root cause of a lot of this crime is a lack of education, a lack of economic development, and a lack of a future for a lot of these young people that commit these crimes. I want to know what it is about your plan that's going to deal with some of those issues and what you've done legislatively that is going to deal with those issues. Because as you know, there were a lot of people at your press conference who felt that you have not provided the right economic foundation to deal with some of those economic disparities. So I'd like you to explain to those people why you feel that's not a correct thing.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we said actually from the very beginning in the state of our state address is that in order to create peace in our communities, there's a component of law enforcement. You have to involve the business community. You have to involve clergy. You have to give people confidence in our justice system. But exactly as you said, Justin, and Jason, you're exactly right about this. People also have to have economic and educational opportunity. We have to create hope for people. And so we have been pursuing an agenda that's going to help to bring jobs. We want to bring more private sector paychecks and bigger private sector paychecks, not just in the city of St. Louis, but throughout the state of Missouri. I'll give you just a couple specifics of some of the things that we're doing. First of all, we signed right-to-work legislation. This was actually really important to put Missouri on the map to let people know that Missouri was open for business again. And I can tell you from working with businesses who are selecting the sites where they might build and invest, Missouri is now on their list. Missouri is now a place where they're thinking about coming. St. Louis in particular had a reputation for being the number one worst judicial hellhole in the country, the hardest legal environment for businesses to operate. And we've taken on a number of tort reform measures. We're taking on nasty trial lawyers who've been driving businesses out of the city of St. Louis and out of the state of Missouri. All of those things are important for us to do. On the education front, there's a lot of work for us to do. I think you've probably seen, for the first time in a decade, my administration is fully funding K-12 education. We are fully funding K-12 education. We're also putting additional resources in, especially for kids who have special needs. Now, this is a really important thing for us to do, but I also believe that we need to make sure that those kids and their parents have educational opportunity, and that's why we're pursuing things like charter schools and education savings accounts to provide opportunity to kids who right now don't feel like they have it.
Why do you think somebody in North St. Louis or South St. Louis should care about right to work or tort reform when they can't even find a job or send their kids to a good school?
Well, I think that they do care about these things because what they've seen is that by these reforms, we're letting people know that Missouri is open for business. And businesses are now moving to Missouri. They're starting to invest in Missouri because they see that we've sent the word out that Missouri is open for business. And this ends up making a difference at the level of just the average worker and their family. When we have more jobs and more opportunity, that helps people at a very basic level. We want to increase people's take-home pay. We want to make sure that we've got more private sector paychecks and bigger private sector paychecks here in the state of Missouri.
Before we get into PDMP, I wanted you to just explain what input you had with the local elected officials. Because from what I heard the mayor, Lida Crewson, said, you had talked with her several times before you rolled out this plan. I got a sense, though, that didn't trickle down to the state representatives and aldermen that were very critical of it. What role did local officials Let me rephrase that.
Sure.
What role did local officials have in developing the crime plan?
Yeah, so first, we did start, we'd actually started talking with Mayor Slay when he was in office, and then we were talking with Mayor Crewson when we knew that she was gonna become the incoming mayor. We talked with her before she even took office, and since that time, our public safety teams have not only been talking with the mayor, but perhaps even more importantly, they've also been talking with the city of St. Louis, with their police officers on the front lines. We've been talking with Chief O'Toole. We've been talking with Chief Belmar. We're working with people at the local level to get them involved. And yes, There are state representatives and state senators who've come to see us in the legislature, and we invite all of them to bring their ideas. We invite anybody who's willing to help us to address this problem and save lives. We welcome them onto the team. This is a problem for all of us to address. It doesn't matter if somebody's a Republican or a Democrat. Doesn't matter if they live in St. Louis City or St. Louis County. If there's a way for somebody to help us to address this problem, then we want to work with them. And the last thing I'll say on this point, Jason, is that this is for us the beginning of the mission. This is the beginning of the mission. And just like when I was a Navy SEAL, we'd execute an operation, and then we'd go forward and we'd see what works. And if it was working, we'll do more of it. If it's not working, we'll do less of it. And we invite feedback, we invite input from everybody who's working on this problem out on the front lines. The only thing that we won't accept anymore, and you've heard me say this, we won't accept excuses. We won't accept inaction. I refuse to turn to grandparents who don't feel like they can let their grandkids walk the streets of St. Louis and say that there's nothing we can do. You know, we've got teachers who have to explain to kids in their classroom why there's an empty desk when we lose another child to violence. I refuse to let us accept things as they are. We're going to move forward, and we're going to do things differently in order to address this problem and create safer streets.
Moving on to the opioid crisis, yes, one of the things that I've noticed is politicians now are dealing with opioid and heroin abuse as a public health crisis.
Yes,
when,
sir.
You know, in the 1980s, during the crack epidemic,
yes,
which primarily affected African Americans, it was dealt with throwing people in jail. I'm just curious if you, as an elected official, realize, a new elected official who wasn't there in the 80s or even in the 2000s, that maybe the way people handled drug addiction in the past by throwing people in jail instead of rehabilitating them wasn't the way to go. I'd like to hear your perspective on that as somebody who, as you mentioned today, had a cousin who died of a heroin overdose.
Yeah, Jason, you know, as you mentioned, I did. I had a cousin who died of a heroin overdose. When we announced our statewide prescription drug monitoring program today, we brought in families. And when you talk to these families about the loss that they have experienced, the loss of sons, the loss of daughters to the opioid addiction and to the tremendous heroin epidemic and the problems that we're facing here in the state of Missouri, you recognize that we have to act. We have to take action. And one of the things that I would say is so important is that we do recognize that this is a public health emergency. There is absolutely a component for law enforcement to play. There's a component for the private sector to play. You saw today we announced some of our private sector partners who are working with us. There's a role for the government to play, but it's important for people to recognize that with this heroin epidemic, we're not going to arrest our way out of this problem. This is a problem where we have to deal with drug courts, we have to deal with treatment, we have to deal with what's happening inside of our justice system. These are complex problems, and again, the only thing that's unacceptable to us are excuses. We're here to take action and to recognize that it is a public health emergency.
U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill released a statement, which I'm sure you've seen by now, that said one of the, in her views, flaws of your idea is it lets the state see opioid prescriptions as opposed to doctors and pharmacists. What do you make of that argumentation? Because I would assume that most of the other PDMPs do allow doctors to see this data. From my understanding, from reading the executive order, this data will just be for the state's eyes only and not for doctors. Why is that a better approach?
Well, look, this is a really strong approach that we've put in place with our executive order. And you should know, Jason, like, I recognize any time we take strong action, whether that's to address the crime problem or the opioid addiction, there are going to be critics and there are going to be politicians who talk and talk and talk about this problem. But I think what's giving people such confidence is that we're willing to step out and to take action to save lives. And the reason why our program is going to be so important, just a little history here. We've had prescription drug monitoring programs in the United States since the 1930s. And we went out, and what we did as a team was we studied what works. We studied what works in other states, and we studied what works historically. The point of a prescription drug monitoring program is to make sure that you can look at the misuse, abuse, and diversion of prescription drugs. What our program allows us to do, it allows our Department of Health and Senior Services to see the source of the problem, to see when you have prescribers. For example, if you've got, you know, one doctor in a particular county who's responsible for 90% of the opioid prescriptions, we can address that problem at the source. If you've got a dentist who's given one patient 70 prescriptions for opioids over the course of the past 18 months, we can address that problem. So we're going right to the source. And the other thing that's innovative about our model, and again, this is an integrated, comprehensive, innovative model, is that working with private sector partners, and this is some groundbreaking work we're doing here in the state of Missouri, we're going to be able to use their data and their analytic capability to actually pinpoint the problems in the state of Missouri. Now, again, I want to be very clear for everybody. This is an essential step. It's an essential first step. But this prescription drug monitoring program isn't going to solve the opioid problem here in the state of Missouri. Without this prescription drug monitoring program, though, we can't solve the problem. It's an important first step.
St. Louis County Executive Steve Stenger said in a statement today that they're going to continue to operate the St. Louis County Great. Database. Is there going to be any difficulties or conflicts with both of those running at the same time?
No, sir. Not that I anticipate. And I look forward to working with anybody at a local level, at a county level, at a federal level, who's excited and is willing to work with us. I'm glad to hear that other people are joining us, that we're all taking action together. This is a problem for people around the state of Missouri. And again, regardless of political party, I want people to recognize that we all have to address this plague together. And I'm not just glad to hear about that, I'm excited about the fact that there are other people who want to work with us to address this problem.
On the special session, which is still going on, what do you expect next week when the Senate goes back into session? Would you want the Senate to pass the House bill as is, or do you expect any changes in the bill dealing with restricting abortion?
Yes, sir. I actually think that the House has done a very good job. My expectation is that the Senate will come in and will pass the House bill. Now, again, things might change, but I think that would be a really good outcome for us, and that would help us to protect pregnancy care centers here in the state of Missouri.
And the only other question is,
yes.
Are you running for Senate, yes or no?
No.